Thanks for joining us for this special year of St. Joseph presentation from Relevant Radio, 19 on the 19th. A 19-minute talk on St. Joseph on the 19th of the month, the day dedicated to St. Joseph.
While we journey through this year of St. Joseph, I'd like to walk through probably the most well-known prayer to St. Joseph, and that's the Litany of St. Joseph. Litany's a prayer of petition, in this case, praying for the intercession of St. Joseph. This is Timory from Trending with Timory. As I ponder the Litany of St. Joseph, I immediately turn very quickly to how St. Joseph is the pinnacle of masculinity. Apart from Jesus Christ, who was both God and man, he models the perfection of masculinity, fatherhood, Christianity, and what it means to be a husband, all things that are at the heart of the crisis we face in our culture. And in fact, usually the wounds that we ourselves are experiencing in our own lives. Daddy issues, relationship heartbreak, lack of male involvement in our lives, of men stepping up, leading, protecting, and providing. St. Joseph is the healing balm that helps us in overcoming all of life's difficulties having to do with these issues, even in helping us to approach God, the Heavenly Father, to appreciate and to heal those fatherly relationships. But another perspective that I think often missed has to do with typology. Now, if you don't know what typology is, a great example of it is where we see Jesus Christ prefigured in the Old Testament. For example, in Elijah, Moses, Elisha, Joseph, and others. This is seen especially not just in sacred scripture, but in the depiction of Christian art. For example, the Sistine Chapel by Michelangelo, where the conclave occurs, where all of the cardinals come together to cast their vote for the new pope. Now, the Sistine Chapel, if you've ever been there, and I encourage you to look at an image of it, ceiling, walls, everything is covered in these incredible paintings by Michelangelo from the 15th century. Now, if you were to look to the right wall and the left wall, side by side in these great 10 feet tall images, we see depicted on one side the life of Moses from the Old Testament, who gave us the law, who liberated through the intercession of God, of course, the guidance of God, the people, the chosen people, the Israelites from Egypt, who were captives and enslaved. And on the other side, we see Jesus Christ. And we see moments in Jesus' life parallel to the opposite wall and moments of Moses' life, and how Jesus Christ completely fulfills everything that Moses himself did or was trying to do. What we see in the life of Moses is a type of Christ prefigured in the Old Testament. Moses partially did what Christ would do in its fullness and his perfection. Jesus fulfills the perfection and liberation of an enslaved people. Moses only scratches the surface with heavenly intervention. Jesus actually transforms and unites us to himself, giving us the very life of God, not just the promised land of the Israelites, but in a heavenly inheritance. What does all of this have to do with the Litany of St. Joseph? Well, do we ever ponder that St. Joseph himself is a type of Christ as well? The closest in face in all of human history. For Christ himself is the apple of the tree of St. Joseph. Although not biologically, he was raised, schooled, and we could even argue, chastised in holy ways by St. Joseph as he learned how to be a human person. You see, the faithful spouse of St. Joseph, in humanly unexplainable circumstances, even stayed faithful to the Blessed Virgin Mary. He was a father to Jesus, and he responded to the heavenly and celestial promptings from the angel Gabriel. It's with this context that we pray the Litany of St. Joseph, seeing the perfection of all that is masculine and Christian, as well as the foreshadowing of Christ himself, as we pray the various titles St. Joseph has in this litany. So let's begin and pray through it as we break down the Litany of St. Joseph. We begin by saying, Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Christ, hear us. Christ, graciously hear us. God, the Father in heaven, God, the Son, Redeemer of the world, God, the Holy Spirit, Holy Trinity, one God. We here see and set the stage that God is first. God is the source of all and the end of all, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So we don't even get to St. Joseph yet. Then we pray, Holy Mary, pray for us, immediately invoking Joseph's holy spouse, the Mother of God, and making clear St. Joseph's mission as first belonging to God, and second belonging to his spouse, the Blessed Virgin Mary. Then we begin our prayers of petition, intercession to St. Joseph, as we pray, pray for us at each title. St. Joseph, pray for us. Illustrious Son of God, pray for us. Illustrious, what does that mean? It means to be admired and respected, as St. Joseph is. And we pray, Light of Patriarchs. What do we see here? We see an inspiration for the heads of homes in the midst of a culture that is anti-patriarchy. I was at the Women's March over the last year, and I've seen how often their language has to do with being anti-patriarchy. Well, what does that mean? Most of the women can't even define the word patriarchy. Most of us can't. It has to do with being the male head of a home. Is that really what we're objecting to as a society? In reality, this petition to St. Joseph, Light of Patriarchs, pray for us, is actually healing for the radical feminism, the anti-man, the anti-human, the anti-God culture that we live in. And in reality, it's not just about the anti-male culture that people seemingly object to. It actually has to do with the fact that we believe men have failed us. We've perhaps lost hope, not in humanity, although people have lost that too, but we've lost hope in men as protectors and leaders and providers. If you're a man, maybe you wish you saw greater examples of this in your own life, rather than cherry-picking a few examples and examples that we might argue are also imperfect. You see, praying to St. Joseph as Light of Patriarchs helps in restoring masculinity, restoring order in the God-given mission of men as leaders, protectors, and providers. This is what you're called to, fathers, husbands, men who aren't even married or have children, and you might think you don't have a mission, but indeed, you're still called to that God-given role to be a leader, protector, and provider. For yourself, for the kingdom of heaven, and for those who you might not realize are actually entrusted to your responsibility. In fact, a young boy learns this first within the context of the home, especially if he has siblings and parents, as he takes responsibility for leading, protecting, and providing in his own life, for his siblings in a respect, as a good example and model in the culture. Pope Pius XI, in the encyclical Casti Canubi, edging into the middle of the 20th century, as we saw this crisis of masculinity, fatherhood, and the family, he commented that husbands are meant to be the head of the home and woman the heart. But what does it mean to be the head of the home? I think this is what's specifically unpacked in the Litany of St. Joseph as we continue in praying these prayers of intercession and petition. We pray, spouse of the Mother of God, guardian of the Redeemer, and pure guardian of the Virgin. What does all of this mean? That St. Joseph is the guardian protector. He's responsible physically and spiritually for protection. He's our spiritual, when I say our, yours and my, spiritual and physical protector as well, preserving us if we only ask his intercession to preserve us, to present us as holy and spotless before his Son, the throne, the heavenly throne of God himself. We pray, provider for the Son of God, pray for us. Again, being reminded that St. Joseph is a provider of home, of safety, of food, of prayer time, of safe and healthy relationships. We pray, zealous defender of Christ. Do we ponder the way in which St. Joseph protected Christ's life and mission? He preserved the purity of spirit and physical safety of Jesus and the Blessed Virgin Mary. He was the primary caretaker of Jesus with Our Lady, but he also, knowing the respect and the order of creation, the order of parenthood, he protected and preserved and zealously defended Our Lady in her motherhood so that she could be a mother and wasn't pulled away in every other direction to provide a means to battle the horrors of the culture. No, St. Joseph was a zealous defender of Christ by not just defending Christ, but by preserving the motherhood of Mary so that she could be that mom to Christ himself. We pray, servant of God, pray for us. This humility of St. Joseph is seen in this title, servant of God. He was the servant of God. Joseph the father served the son. He became the servant of Christ. How enchanting a child can be for any parent, as we see a parent willing to meet a child's needs, from diapers to feedings to even sacrificing their own sleep. St. Joseph did all of this just like a parent does, but he did the same thing in unimaginable ways to the service of the King of the universe under his own roof. Again, servant to Christ himself. We pray he's a minister of salvation. That is, he's part of bringing salvation to you and I through his yes, through his fiat, like Mary, who Mary said, "Be it done unto me according to thy word." Joseph, too, had to accept the mission, the heavenly mission, what seemed like an impossible mission, to protect God, to protect Christ on earth. We, too, are called to that same mission. We pray, head of the Holy Family, pray for us. Again, head of the Holy Family, what does this mean? He is the patriarch, and this is important. To restore this order of masculine perfection, and yes, an ideal, and yes, some might try to argue that it's a stereotype, but no, it's a God-given mission. We pray, Joseph most just, Joseph most chaste, Joseph most prudent, pray for us. Rather than being self-seeking or choosing self-preservation, Saint Joseph is the model of fairness and right in giving others their due. That is justice. He had sexual integrity and understood his state in life and was faithful to his God-given vocation. Yes, married, but a chaste spouse at that. All of us, in fact, are called to be chaste spouses, although perhaps lived out a little differently than St. Joseph. But can't we look to him as a model in a culture of pornography, in a culture of infidelity, in a culture of not getting married, and engaging with other people in ways that were unimaginable, by someone such as St. Joseph, who honored the most beautiful of all creation, of all women, the Blessed Virgin Mary? Their marriage was preserved in holiness, and St. Joseph understood the Virgin Mary was God's portion, that is, set aside for a particular mission. And St. Joseph was prudent in action, seeking the counsel especially of God, deliberating and acting accordingly. This is his prudence. He was guided by God. He didn't follow his own whim, his own guidance. He took guidance by the holy celestial beings, those great angels. We pray, Joseph most brave, Joseph most obedient, Joseph most loyal, pray for us. Here we see St. Joseph's strength of character, bravery, obedience, and loyalty to who? To what? To God, to the Blessed Virgin Mary, to the mission God himself gave St. Joseph. Bravery, obedience, and loyalty, justice, chastity, and prudence. All of these virtues, which we should so ardently seek after and beg the intercession of St. Joseph to teach us his ways, to follow in his footsteps, to guide the men in our lives, rather than for us women nagging our husbands, our spouses, the men in our lives, to live these virtues out, but imploring them, inviting them into the mission, the way the angel Gabriel invited St. Joseph into the mission. The God-given mission to be the Christ-bearer in the world, in a world parched for God, parched for liberation, starving for a redeemer. We pray, mirror of patience, pray for us. Light of patriarchs, pray for us. He is the inspiration for heads of homes. This is so important. Mirror of patience. Patience, a virtue that is so important to being a father or a mother in this society. Patience that is so important when discussing the most difficult topics in our culture. Patience that is so important when we go, God, reveal yourself to me. I'm chasing you. I'm having a hard time seeing you because I have so many distractions in my life. Help me to be patient and preserving in prayer and persevering in prayer rather than giving up because of my impatience and turning to every means of distraction rather than pondering and staying still and praying to your Son, Jesus Christ. We pray, lover of poverty, model of workers, that is, there was no vain glory in Saint Joseph. He appreciated poverty, the poverty of spirit, the necessity of providing and knowing that I can never fulfill the needs of providing, for I'm providing for the God of the universe who has everything, who is everything, and who gives everything. So let go of resentment and pressure of being a provider and joyfully accept the mission, knowing you will never do it by yourself, for you are not alone. Why is he the model of workers? Because Jesus Christ himself goes with Saint Joseph in guiding him as the worker who, again, does not seek vainglory, but simply a simple means for his family. We pray, glory of family life, guardian of virgins, cornerstone of families, pray for us. Saint Joseph, we read here in these next petitions, he too is there to intercede for you as we read these titles, support in difficulties, comfort of the sorrowing, hope of the sick, patron of exiles, patron of the afflicted, patron of the poor, patron of the dying. But he doesn't just provide consolation to the sick and intercede at the moment of our death. He's engaged in a battle with principalities and powers. The fallen angels, who, as St. Peter himself writes, are prowling about the world seeking the ruin of souls, that is, seeking the ruin of your soul. This is why St. Joseph is terror of demons and protector of the Holy Church. Because there's a battle. There's a battle for the salvation of our souls. And just as he bears Christ, just as he is a mediator of salvation, he intercedes as the terror of demons and protector of the Holy Church. Now we implore God, as we conclude the Litany of St. Joseph by these prayers, to allow the intercession of St. Joseph as we pray to the Lord, Lamb of God, you take away the sins of the world. Lamb of God, you take away the sins of the world. Have mercy on us. Have mercy on us. Returning to the Lord to allow St. Joseph to radically intercede before the heavenly throne for us. Finally, we come to the very end of the Litany of St. Joseph, where we pray, he made him master of his house and ruler of all his possessions. St. Joseph, in his life, shows us the sacrificial life of Christ before Christ's death. St. Joseph was informed by the mission of the Christ child. We see Christ himself foreshadowed in St. Joseph. To this day, he lives a sacrificial life before the heavenly throne as the most powerful intercessor of our souls, apart from the Mother of God. Go to St. Joseph. Know St. Joseph. He will lead, guide, and protect you in all holiness to present you as a spotless before his most holy Son. He made him master of his house and ruler of all his possessions. Amen. I hope you'll join me daily by listening to Trending with Timory. Every Wednesday, we discuss St. Joseph and his life. St. Joseph, terror of demons, pray for us.
Thanks for joining us for this special Year of St. Joseph presentation from Relevant Radio. Invite your friends and family to sign up to receive these monthly talks at relevantradio.com or on the Relevant Radio app.